Well, I hope you all have studied your lessons and you are ready to participate here today. I'm tired today. We drove to Indy last night, got there about 11, and preached a funeral this morning up in Kokomo. Just got back 30 minutes ago from the drive, and so I'm thankful that we had safe travel to get back here, but hope you're going to participate here this evening and help me out. As we think about taking the Lord's name in vain. We're looking at the book of Deuteronomy this quarter, and specifically we're focused on the Ten Commandments. And as we look at the Ten Commandments, we're trying to tie some of these in to other passages that you read in Deuteronomy. We don't have a whole lot of that today with taking the Lord's name in vain. Just kind of going to look at the simple text that you read there in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 11. But I want to ask you a question as we get started. What would you think if someone took out an American flag and threw it on the ground and started stomping on it and wiping their feet on it right in front of you? How would some of you feel about that? Okay. They'd be showing disrespect to our country and our flag. Seth? I saw that clip. An entire stadium of baseball fans applauded Rick Monday when he came in there, and he did that because they felt like those two individuals were being disrespectful. Mark? Stole your thunder, sorry. You were going to use that same baseball illustration too, yeah? Okay. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with stomping on a flag? Why? It's disrespectful. Why? What's that? It's a symbol of our country. Okay. It's against the law. Okay. Eh? What do you think, Dwayne? Let's ask an ex-military guy. What do you think?
Understanding to social issues, whatever they might be, you know, but people are doing it to get a rise or to get attention. Right?
Okay.
And so, you know, I kind of know where the parallel is, but.
Mm-hmm. So you feel like it's disrespecting the sacrifices that people have made for that flag, for the freedom, disrespecting perhaps the country. And so that's why that sometimes gets us upset. Now, where's this headed? How do you feel when people stomp on the name of God daily?
I should feel the same way, if not worse.
And people do that all the time. Mark, Evan.
It's interesting that people with just a flag, right? When I was growing up, when I was a kid, a flag can touch the ground. If you raise a flag, it never touched the ground, or you had it discarded.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So when we do that, it says something about how we feel about that country. And there's some that might even argue, well, maybe you're justified. Maybe there's some bad things that our country has done. And so that argument takes place. But we're talking about God now. And we're talking about the name of God and how that gets misused. Evan, you had a hand up earlier.
He hasn't done anything to make you wait on his project. Mm-hmm. Or he hasn't done anything to make you feel uncomfortable about, you know, this email that was just sent to you and out of angst or anger.
Mm-hmm.
So what's he have to do with it? And then there's an apology that coincides, and then a conversation usually coincides. So I think that there's opportunity when people around you are using more in the day for us as Christians to use that as a teaching opportunity that we may not have had before.
Okay. Good. I'm glad you say something. I think that's good. That's what we're gonna get to that a little bit as well. How do we handle that? Because it is everywhere around us. We live in this culture of disrespect for essentially God and all that his name and his being stands for. Seth? Mm-hmm.
You don't even believe in that. Why are you using that word in such a context? Mm-hmm. It's just a slang in our society.
And that's kind of one of the points. We're not thinking about it and what it means. And I think as we study God's word and as we study this commandment, God wants us to think about it. His name should mean something. And when we say there's just people everywhere, all around us, and I even hear Christians just take the Lord's name in vain sometimes, and you're not thinking about it, then that's the problem. Don't you think about how important his name is and what it means and all that it entails, and be just so careful not to disrespect it. So I pulled out the theme booklet you guys used before I moved here back in 2017. And remember the theme? I hope you do. I hope somebody does. For the sake of his name, right? And I noticed some of these verses, they were in the first part of this, and so I just wanted to kind of read them to you, remind you, review is good sometimes, right? But this is from the first page of this theme booklet. Here's a sampling of how often our attention is drawn to this most glorious of ideals in God's written revelation of mankind. 1 Samuel 12:22, the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you a people for himself. Psalm 23 is a very popular, common psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, and he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Psalm 31, verse 3, you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake, you lead me, you guide me. Psalm 79, verse 9, help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name. Deliver us and atone for our sins for your name's sake. Psalm 115, verse 1, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. And then you can look at the New Testament, Romans chapter 1. Paul says he's a servant of Christ Jesus, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. 1 John 2, I'm writing to you little children because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. And Revelation 2 says, I know you're enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. So this principle of respecting and glorifying and adoring and appreciating God's name is consistent throughout the covenants, through the Old Covenant into the New Covenant, Old Testament, New Testament. And so I set that up, and I say that to say what we're reading here, just because it's in the Ten Commandments, doesn't mean it's irrelevant in the New Testament. The idea of respecting God's name is something we read in Old Testament passages and in New Testament passages. So the principles that we're thinking about here today, I think, can be beneficial for us. And so the principle I just want to lay down is take God's name seriously. And I think that's really the idea behind Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 11. Here this third commandment is, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. So take a look at some of the questions there that were on your worksheets. Those are always in the back between the double doors there. Next week's worksheet is in the back between those double doors. And the first question is this. The third commandment focuses upon the importance of the name of God. And the word name, here's what the word name has to do with position. We're not just thinking about his title. What does his title imply? When someone stomps on the flag, why others find it disrespectful is not just because it's a piece of cloth with red and white and blue. It's because it represents something about the position, the sacrifice, the authority of the country. And that's why some people do not like the idea of flag burnings or flag stompings. And likewise, when we think of God's name, we're not talking about just a few letters here, not just a title, but it's his position. It's his honor. It's his authority. It's his character. We are not to take those things in vain. So what do the following passages teach us about the name of God? Take a look at these passages, and if we want, we can just go around the room and just quickly read these. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 5. If you're there, blurt it out for us.
Then the Levites, Sheshua, Kadmon, Bani, Ashbalani, Sherebiah, Hodiah, Shebaniah, and Pethahiah said, stand up and bless the Lord your God. From everlasting to everlasting, blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise.
Okay. Your glorious name is exalted above all blessing and praise. God, you are exalted above all. So God is not to be treated commonly. Psalm chapter 83, verse 18.
That they may know that you alone, whose name is the Lord, are the most high over all earth.
Okay, you are the most high. I'm not going to treat you like, you know, just some common word. You are the most high over all the earth. Your name alone is the Lord. Psalm 103, verse 1. Okay, God does not deserve to be used as a curse word. He says, I want to bless your holy name. Your name is to be valued. Psalm 111, verse 9.
He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name.
Holy and awesome is his name. So again, set apart is his name. Holy is the very opposite of treating something commonly. Holy means set apart. Awesome is his name. His name, his authority, his power, his rank. That should make us just be impressed with awe. We use the word awesome way too much. You know, there's an awesome dunk. Well, there's a lot of people that can dunk, you know. That was an awesome sunset. And there's a lot of awesome sunsets. I mean, awesome was something that was ascribed to God. It brought awe. It was just inspiring. And that is God, according to the psalmist. Matthew 6 and verse 9, here's the New Testament as we think about prayer. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed, holy, essentially, is what that idea of hallowed means. And so all of these passages, I think, teach us something about the name of God and how it is to be revered, how we're to look at it. Now, is a person's name important?
Yes.
What'd you say, Curtis? It's your name. This is your identity. This is who you are. How does it feel if I call you by a different name, Dwayne?
Having the name Dwayne, it happens quite frequently.
And you feel like, a good name, Proverbs 22, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. And the good name is just not just your title. It has to do with your reputation. A good name is to be chosen. It's better than great riches. A good reputation. So person's name, I think person's name is important. I think anytime, salespeople get taught this, right? If you really want to impress someone, then know their name. And if you mess up their name, they think you're disrespecting them and they feel like you just made them feel less important, because of that. You show you care when you know someone's name and you speak to them by their name. Name is important. Somebody had a hand up and I missed, maybe a couple people did. Dwayne?
Your name, it has your spouse's name, it has her maiden name, you know, I mean, you just see these things, and I think sometimes we don't realize just how important that is, and how often we, you know, for something official, or something, you know, that we're doing, just like when I took the oath of enlistment, you know, it was, place your hand on the Bible, I, Dwayne Warren Campbell, do solemnly swear to support and defend the Constitution of the United States of America, right, so they made sure that something is as important as that, that your name was involved.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of times where we invoke our own name and we don't even realize like the importance of the ceremony.
Yeah, good thoughts. Do you think any old name would have done when you named your children? How'd you name your kids? You just kind of pulled out a name book and said, we're just going to close our eyes and we're going to put our finger. And I'll tell you what, we talked about names a lot when we named our kids. We came, you know, there's a list of names. No, I knew somebody with that name and I didn't like them. They were mean. They were bullies. We're not naming our kid that because it'll bring back memories of that. And so you talk about all these things, these names. I don't like how that would sound with our last name. Names matter. What's that?
What nicknames they might get.
What?
You can't call them that because then they'll be called this.
Right. Right. That's true. If a bride refuses to take her husband's name, Mark, you know, if you get married to Tina and she says, by the way, I don't want to be Tina Berry. That's, no. She's saying, yeah, I wish I...
We're going to go over to the last name.
Okay,
and
yeah.
Now, it would have been probably hurtful to you somewhat.
Mm-hmm. That's a good illustration. If a boss calls you by the wrong name repeatedly, how does that make you feel? I mean, I've only been here a year and a half, and I still get called Jason, but that's okay. Ted, go ahead.
Had a good excuse to
kind of hurts your feelings just a little bit. Yeah. Take a look at what Jesus says in John 10. And one of the things that I find beautiful about John 10, where Jesus says that he's the good shepherd, right? One of the awesome things about that good shepherd in verse 3, I think, is this little phrase here. It says, "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name." And I think that's amazing that even though we have just this huge world, this huge universe filled with people, that God knows each and every one of his sheep, and he knows your name. It says something about the God who cares about you. And it says something about you, that you're important, that you have an identity to him. And he calls you by name, and he leads you out. Name is important. So important here that it's mentioned as being something that the good shepherd does, good shepherd knows. Now, names represent what? What do names represent? Why is that important? Elaine, sorry, I was looking down. Yeah, it's a good point. So names define, names identify, and they define, which is kind of what you mentioned when you take those vows, or when someone asks you, "Is this really you that's using this credit card? Show me your ID. I want to define you by your name." So they define, they identify, they are what makes you unique from others. One of the things. Go ahead.
I kind of thought about that. I never really realized that, but even that was created by God.
Mm-hmm.
And he allowed mankind to say, "Hey, what is this going to be called?"
What do you think of when you think of names like Abraham Lincoln? What comes to mind? What was Abraham Lincoln's nickname?
Honest Abe.
Yeah, so we associate sometimes Abe or Abraham with honesty. So names can speak of a person's character. What do you think of when you think of Judas? Traitor, backstabber, right? What, or Jezebel? Would you name your kid Jezebel? Your daughter? Probably not. I don't think there's any Jezebels in here or any Judases. But those names remind us of character. Did your parents ever say to you, "When you leave my house and you go out into the real world, I want you to remember your name. Remember your last name." Your name speaks of reputation. Okay? There's a reputation we want you to uphold. You're a Welch, and so we want you to uphold that reputation. Police officer comes, and hopefully they haven't come to you today and done this, but stop in the name of the law. What's the name of the law represent? Authority. So names represent character. Names make us think of reputation. Names make us think of authority. They think of identity. One more thing. Names also invite intimacy. If someone says to you, "Don't call me Dr. So-and-so, call me by my name." that invites you to, you know, I don't want you to just to see me in a professional atmosphere. I want you to see me as your friend. It invites intimacy or friendship. I said one more thing, but I got two more things. Purpose. Did God ever change anybody's name? Yeah, and sometimes he changed their name because he had a new purpose for them. And the new name reflected the new purpose. Abram goes from to Abraham. Simon's name gets changed to Peter. And the purpose changed. You got Saul moving to Paul. Names sometimes change, and sometimes it represents a change in purpose. So names represent all of those things. Names are important. And it's important that we not that we treat names with respect. Now, what can you do with people? Do we ever treat... Let me give you some examples. Does King James... Who's King James, by the way? Who we talk about? When you think of King James, Paul knows who we're talking about. LeBron? LeBron James, okay? King James. When King James has a bad game, what does King James get called sometimes? Or what does the headline read? Seth, what headline would you... King James loses his crown, you know, or Queen James, crybaby, the cry. You know, you're disrespecting his name when you do that, right? You know, Air Jordan has a bad game, so you call him Airball Jordan when he has a bad game. Okay. As humans, we can see why maybe you might do that with people. So people have bad days, bad games. We're frail, we're fallible, we have mistakes, we have faults. Our names can get called into question. But God's character, here's what's different about God. Here's why you don't take God's name in vain. God's character is constant. God's character is true. God's character and his name may not be called into question or used in a derogatory fashion. Because God is always good, he's always powerful, he's always right, he's always true. All of the good things that we could associate with God are things to be respected. So we're not to use his name lightly. Now, that gets us to this phrase that we see in Deuteronomy 5 verse 11, the phrase in vain. What does that mean? When we use his name in vain, what does that mean?
Taking down the importance.
It's a blasphemous way. We're taking away the importance.
In an irreverent manner.
Okay. What do you think of when you think of vanity? What's that word? In Ecclesiastes, what does that word mean? Vanity of vanities, it's used over and over again. What's a, something that's vain or vain? What's that? It's useless. It's fleeting. Don't treat God's name as if it is useless. Or you are treating it irreverently, disrespectfully. Because God is not useless. God is not worthless. He's not to be treated as if he is empty. Those are not to be empty words. Now, what's the word profanity mean? We say when someone curses, I don't think a lot of kids even know what profanity means. You say, you need to quit using profanity. They don't even know what profanity is. What does profanity mean? It's obscene language. Okay. Here's what the word profanity, if you break it down, here's what it means. Pro means out of, and phanum means temple. Out of the temple. In other words, you're taking something that should be in the temple, that's holy, you're taking it out of the temple and you're making it common. So profanity is when we take something that should be holy and we make it common. God's name. Where we take a name that should represent authority, power, character, rank, and we just treat it lightly. Like it doesn't matter, it doesn't really mean anything. And thoughtlessly, treating it as if it were worthless. And that's how those phrases apply to this command. There's a lot of words that are used to describe Jehovah. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Genesis 22. So this doesn't just use the name Lord. It indicates what the Lord does. Why the Lord is to be revered. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. All of these things say something about our awesome God. And yet, when people speak of God, is this how they speak of Him? When they're using His name. The Lord is such a good provider. The Lord brings me so much peace. The Lord is so strong and so mighty. The Lord is my shepherd and my protector. Is that how people are speaking of the Lord? They're speaking of His good qualities, or usually when we use the Lord's name, is it just using it in a very empty and worthless way? Here's what God can do. And so many people use His name without the respect that it deserves. Israel was guilty of using the Lord's name in vain, and so we're just going to look at a few of these passages that indicate that. So we can see that there's other ways we do that, but then other than just thoughtlessly using the term, you know, God or Lord and using it lightly. So I want you to take a look at some of these. Isaiah chapter 48, again, we'll just kind of go around. If you want to get there, that will get us through these passages quicker. If you're there, just go ahead and read it for us. Isaiah 48, verses 1 and 2. Okay, there are people who are swearing by the name of the Lord, mentioning God, he says, but not in truth or in righteousness. Are there people who claim to be followers of our God, and yet when you look at their lives, they're not living a life of truth or of righteousness? That's taking the Lord's name in vain. It's not that they're claiming to be His followers and His adherents, and they're not. And Isaiah reminds them, the Lord of hosts is powerful and you need to respect His name. Titus chapter 1, verse 16.
They profess to know God, but they deny Him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work.
Okay, same principle. You can profess to know God, claim that you're a follower of Him, and then by your works, you're not doing what God says. He says you're disqualified for good work because of it. Romans 2, verse 24. Okay, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles. And the reason why the name of God is blasphemed, looking at the context, is here are people, he says, you who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? They, again, were not practicing what they were preaching. They were not living according to the Lord's principles. If you claim to be a follower of the Lord and you don't do it, then he says you blaspheme God's name. You're using His name in vain. I want you to see that this is not just when we blurt out God's literal name. It's when we claim to be God's followers and we're not living a life that's truly following God. Mark 13, verses 6 and 7. Okay. People claiming that they were the Christ. And he says, but it wasn't true. You were claiming to be something you weren't. That was going to be a sign of the coming of the destruction of Jerusalem. One more thing, Matthew 7, this is probably the one we're the most familiar with. Probably gets quoted the most in sermons and such from the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Okay, didn't we do all of this in Your name, in Your name, in Your name? And he says, you weren't doing My will. You were claiming Me as Lord, but you weren't doing Me as well. So you're taking the Lord's name in vain. That's one way we take the Lord's name in vain. You claim to be His follower, and in works, you're not following Him. Next question gives us another example. Is it acceptable to use God's name as a curse to insult or condemn others. It's hard for me to teach on this because I feel bad if I actually use the curse words that people use. You know what I mean? But people use God's name as a curse word, right? You know, the GD, right? where we use God's name and then we say, you know, condemn you. I'm trying to be PC as I can. Yeah, what does James 3 say about, first of all, human beings, how we should feel about them, and whether we should curse them? Talks about the tongue in James 3. And he says, here you curse men, and you bless God, and yet God is the creator of men. And men are made in the image of God. So how dare you curse what God has created? We cannot bless God and curse men. It's an inconsistency. So you can't use God's name as a curse to insult or to condemn others. What does it actually say about the user when we do that with our language? What does it say about you if you speak like this? It says something about your heart. Jesus says, how can you being evil speak good things? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so when we say things like this and curse and condemn others and insult and put down others and verbally abuse others, it says something about what's in our heart. Words are a reflection of you. Think about this. I try to point this out when I talk to folks that are going to get married, and it seems like vows get taken pretty lightly. A vow is a serious thing. It's a promise. Especially when you're invoking the name of God in the process of making your oath or your covenant, which would be marriage. So if we fail to keep the covenant that we agreed to, then was our covenant sincere? It says that it wasn't. How does God feel about that? When you say, as God is my witness, I'm going to love you till death do us part. I'm going to be faithful to you when you're not keeping your word. You were taking the Lord's name in vain. You were claiming that, you know, you were going to do what the Lord wanted you to do, and the Lord was a party to your covenant as well. But these passages, Malachi 3 is a strong passage to me because it talks about divorce and it talks about how you have just destroyed, you've done violence to the wife whom you made your covenant with. You've disrespected that covenant, that agreement that you made. Not just with her, but it's a covenant with God as well. And so when we are not serious about our promises in marriage, take the Lord's name in vain. What are some things we can do to honor God's name? We've kind of looked at some negative things. Don't use his name as a curse word, and don't pretend to be a follower of the Lord and disobey him in our lives, and don't make a promise with the name of the Lord and then not keep it. What can we do to honor his name as we live out this life? Some of these passages might give us an indication. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. You're wearing out on me. One more minute. We can do this. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. If God is powerful and he has all authority and we respect his rank and his character, then let's humble ourselves under the name of this powerful God. Let's respect his governance in our lives. And let's pray. And it says, seek my face. Turn from your wicked ways. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19, here's a New Testament passage that uses that phrase, name.
But God's firm foundation stands, bearing the seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity.
Yeah. you name the name of the Lord, you claim that he is your Lord, your Christ, then depart from iniquity. In 1 Peter chapter 4. Yes. Be willing to be reproached for the name of Christ. Don't be ashamed of Christ. It's one of the things that I think 1 Peter 4 teaches us. If you're going to follow his example, he suffered for you, you be willing to suffer for him. Didn't quite get to this question, but I encourage you to think about it. What do you do when people around you are dropping their OMGs on their social media and using the Lord's name in vain in front of you? How do you handle that? How do you approach it? I want to finish with this illustration. There's a story about Alexander the Great and another young soldier that was named Alexander, had the same name as Alexander. And the young soldier was brought to Alexander the Great because he'd acted cowardly and he needed to be scolded. And the reply of Alexander the Great was this: either you change your name or you change your actions. No coward deserved the same name as Alexander the Great. You change your name or you change your actions. Here we are, we're Christians, we're claimed to be followers of Christ. And if we're going to do that, we need to live up to that calling. Or change your name. Change your actions or change your name. All right, thank you for your attention. Next week, take time to be holy, thinking about that Sabbath command.